Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soci.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soci. This show, of course, is available as a podcast, obviously, and it's also available on iTunes. And like all of the podcasts here at WFYI, available on Spotify. Well, friends, we got through another week. Hope you're staying safe. Hope you're staying healthy. Hope you're staying sane. Hope you're being good to one another. And hopefully you've been watching some good movies that are new, or at least new to you, as well as catching up on old favorites. And it's just you and me today, so I got to skedaddle. Not right now, but I want to catch up on a couple of films that I watched recently, and then we'll get to the grab. Well, we'll find out what's playing at the drive-ins and down in Franklin, and then we'll grab a pencil, okay? So, yes, I finally caught up on The Suicide Squad. Yes, adding a title, adding a "the" into the title, justified, and it's legit. Really kind of a low bar. All you had to do is be better than the last Suicide Squad, which I, of course, thought was okay. A little below par if you were making a PG-13 Suicide Squad. And Will Smith looked bored. So, really low bar. But in this one, it works. It is an R-rated Guardians of the Galaxy. They're following that format, so that helps. Going through my notes, the first laugh of the film comes from Viola Davis. So, thank you there. And there's also, I remember there's the first scene with her and Idris Elba. And as I'm watching this, these two great actors work together, I thought, can they also work on, I don't know, Anthony and Cleopatra or Macbeth or Much Ado About Nothing? Something other than The Suicide Squad. It's like when Kenneth Branagh and Kevin Kline worked together on Wild Wild West. They eventually did some Shakespeare together, sort of. But anyway. And there's also a fun kind of length competition between Idris Elba and John Cena, just two giant men acting like boys. Margot Robbie is solid as usual, and she gets a little more control of her character. I remember there was an article about the first Suicide Squad that her butt got more screen time in that movie than Batman. So, the move with unlocking herself with involving her feet, that was very cool, and you know Quentin really liked that. Kudos to Peter Capaldi getting some DC money. He plays the mad scientist that the Suicide Squad is supposed to go and get. And he gets to do one mad scientist speech, and Capaldi nailed it. The courting of Harley Quinn was fun. And Sylvester Stallone gets to be Groot. He is the voice of King Shark, and it's fun. I'm glad he got to do that. And there's a climax in this film involving rats. And if you're a Ball State Theater student and you remember Dr. English's improv scenarios, you'll know. So, but yeah, it was better. And I saw it, and I wish I could have seen this in the theater with a big group. I wound up seeing it at home. And, this is definitely pizza and beer movie. So, better. It was better. I also did watch Memphis 69, which I talked about on the Blues Show last week. A really cool documentary that is put out. It's out on Fat Possum's YouTube page. It'll be available on DVD in September. But it's a country blues festival that happened in Memphis in 1969. This was the fourth year for it. On the same stage where they held Klan rallies and white power rallies. And you got to see music from, Indie's own Yank Rochelle, Sleepy John Estes, Furry Lewis, Mississippi Fred McDowell, Johnny Winter, a slew of local bands. And it was just cool that this material finally surfaced. It's less than 80 minutes. And it's mostly just music, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's been a good summer for music documentaries between Summer of Soul and this. And there's also a couple moments where it's a little reminiscent of Woodstock because a woman comes on the mic, one of the concert staff, and announces that 800 people paid, but 3,000 people showed up, and if they could just donate some money on their way out the door. Another moment where a musician's wife was arrested for public consumption, and they're asking for $50 to bail her out of jail. So, and also the fact that the days are hot enough, you see these great old blues musicians with young sitting next to young girls with umbrellas to cover them from the heat. And a moment where the last day, which had the smallest crowd, this crowd was so small they were able to perform, Mississippi Fred McDowell and a gospel group got to perform under the shade of a tree. So interesting on that. A little sad that the numbers were that small. But if you're a fan of music, man, you'll enjoy this. It's called Memphis 69. It's out by Fat Possum Records, and you can check it out on the Fat Possum YouTube page. It'll be available on DVD next month. And I mentioned it, Annette, it's still in theaters. Go see it while you can. And did I mention that the dubbing in the video release of Tailgate is bad and in kind of in a fun way? So, good. I'm glad I did. There's also a film from Sudan called You'll Die at 20. This came out on Film Movement, and it's an interesting film. It's, I think, the eighth film to be released from Sudan outside of the country. I'll have to double check that. But we have a young boy, a young child, a baby who is at a naming ceremony, and one of the elders tells the boy, well, the title of the movie. Mom is overly protective, and this whole thing, the fact that you're told from your naming ceremony that you're going to die at age 20, and as he gets older, you know, he starts to develop friends and outside interests, and he's starting to question his so-called destiny. And so it's an interesting take on tradition versus modern thinking. He has a girl that falls for him. He doesn't know why she sticks around with him. And you could say that science, that kind of debate about science and faith. So, yeah, good film. So look for You'll Die at 20 from Film Movement. Now, friends, every now and then, if you go to the Film Yap, you can see my review in the Reeling Backwards column of The Gray Fox, a really cool low-key Western from 1982 starring Richard Farnsworth. I got to see this in the theaters back home in Flint at the Genesee Valley 4. And it got a Blu-ray release, so look for that. But I'm going to be hopefully talking about this film very soon on the Film Yap. It's a 1959 family drama called Home from the Hill. And friends, this is one that it's a big budgeted epic family melodrama with a capital M. And this is not a dig. This is a compliment. We have a big landowner in Texas who, you know, he casts a big shadow over the small Texas town, and he's got a wife. He's also got several mistresses, and the wife knows it. And they're able to have conversations that don't turn into screaming matches. And they're also fighting over the soul of their 17-year-old son. And meanwhile, there's also a farmhand who is very connected to his father, to the Robert Mitchum character. I just gave away a plot point. But here's your cast. Robert Mitchum is the dad. He's Wade. Eleanor Parker plays the wife. The young high school boy, a young, not smarmy yet, George Hamilton, one of his early films. And the farmhand is played by George Peppard, who really, really, really wants to audition for HUD after watching this. And what's interesting is, so there's that story. We have dad wants his son to be more of a man. He wants him to go hunting. He wants him to stop collecting trinkets and reading books. And mom wants him home. And then he's Peppard and Hamilton develop a friendship. George Hamilton character has never seen a family melodrama from the 50s because there's a couple plot points coming he does not see, including asking George Peppard's character to help him ask a girl out for him to his dance. You see the stuff coming. So there's that plot point, and the girl who winds up having a little bit of a scandal, and the family kind of swoops in to help out. What helps is that this film was directed by Vincent Minnelli, and it's written by the duo writing crew that made films like Norma Rae, Murphy's Romance, Conrack, a lot of kind of low-key Southern dramas that are really well done. This one is on a much larger scale. But the fact that those people, everybody involved, hit the right note. If you had a less experienced actor, writer, or director, it could have veered one way and gotten into camp or Bad Movies We Love. And, you know, there's lines like, "Shut up and listen. He's your son. His mother was a tramp." When George Hamilton gets his first kiss, he says, "You know, Libby, I'm dying to kiss you." And her response is, "Don't die," kissing him, and then says, "Let me show you." So lines like that could have been, gone off the rails, and it doesn't. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. And it just hit me at the right time. I was in the right mood, apparently, for a 2.5-hour melodrama. It leans more towards Giant than Peyton Place, but a nice spot in the middle. And I found it at a Goodwill on DVD for $2. So, you know, yay me. So look for that if you can on Warner Brothers Home Video. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Okay, friends, before we get to your list, before we I tell you to grab a pencil, let's see what's happening over at the drive-ins and at the Historic Art Craft Theater. Over at the Tibbs drive-in, on screen one, we have Free Guy and Jungle Cruise. On screen two, two sequels, Don't Breathe 2 and Escape Room Tournament of Champions, or as the poster says, Escape Room 2. And, all right, I haven't seen the second Don't Breathe film, but I have to give kudos to the AV Club for saying that the film gets the Terminator 2 treatment, meaning Stephen Lang's character goes from bad guy to good guy, just saying. And I like Stephen Lang, so good for him on that. Get him some money. Screen three, The Suicide Squad and Old. And on screen four, Respect and Space Jam. There you go. Over at the Skyline Drive-In in Shelbyville, man, let's see, Free Guy and Jungle Cruise this weekend. And then Friday, August 27th, is the Super Monster Movie Fest, The Devil Made Us Do It. So check that out over at skylinedrivein.com. And at the Historic Art Craft Theater in Franklin this weekend, depending on when you listen to this, Friday at 7:30 p.m., Saturday 2 and 7:30 p.m., one of the nicest movies ever made, according to my buddy Laura Jansen, That Thing You Do. If you get a chance to see the Oneaters on the big screen, do so. On Friday, August 20th at 7:30 p.m., How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. You've been warned. And on Saturday, August 21st at 7:30 p.m., Tommy Boy. That's the Chris Farley film where he screams and falls down. So there is that. All right, friends, grab a pencil. Let's find out what you've been watching this week. We start on Twitter with Bill, who writes, The 12th Man. Good film, a bit predictable, but still enjoyable. Nothing wrong with that, Bill. Going over to Facebook, Catherine writes, Suicide Squad. So, of course, I have to be the old guy and say, you mean The Suicide Squad, since that's the most current one? You could watch the original. I don't know. But, yeah, I feel old when I have to put a "the" in the title. And this one has it. So, you know, it's even worse. Anyway, thank you, Catherine. Michelle writes, About Time. George writes, The New Suicide Squad. Now we're getting the mixture of all the titles in there. Joshua writes, Val, highly recommended. As yes, I'm with you on that. The Vault, which he said was meh. Obama in Pursuit of a More Perfect Union and Pray Away. Devin went old school. Well, so old school to a certain generation. The Jetsons the Movie. All right. That's the one with Debbie Gibson as the voice of Judy. Yeah, I think. Jamie writes The Suicide Squad, of course. Thank you. Mary writes Communion, Man from Planet X, and The Sixth Sense. Andrew writes Johnny English 2, Eurovision Song Contest, The Story of Fire Saga, Space Cowboys, An American Pickle, Let Them All Talk, and Life of the Party. Gotta love 8-plus-hour-long overseas flights. Ah, wow, Andrew, thanks for hanging in there, man. Hope the travel was safe, and, those are those films you watched on it. Nancy's being a smart aleck and writing the new Idris Elba movie, yes. And Stephen, I will write this since I will read this since you wrote it on my page. Nancy, one of the lyrics in the one-man show I'll be performing in September is "I'll make Idris Elba burn to be in my embrace." I think there's a lot of people, male and female, and everything in between and outside, that would agree with that. So, congrats on the one-man show, Stephen. Tracy Forner writes "Space Jam, sigh." I'm guessing it's the new one. It could be the first one. I don't know. Kevin writes "The Princess Bride" for the first time. Wow. Loved it. So funny. Very good. John writes "Gunpowder Milkshake." Meh. Oh, and "Fantastic Fungi" on Netflix was beautiful and fascinating. That's good. Joni writes "Watch the series The Pursuit of Love" twice. Okay. Andrea writes "Interstellar." Richard Probst writes "Coda." Daniel always brings it. And you all bring it, but Daniel has always a big list. "Tender Trap," "A Shock to the System," "Lady on a Train," "The Torn Curtain," "Going to Town," "Shadow of the Thin Man," "She Done Him Wrong," "After the Dark," "Marathon Man," "Val," "Another Thin Man," "In This Our Life," "Pray Away," and "The Thin Man." Very good. And tell Myrna Loy to call me. Cassie writes "The Suicide Squad," "Bottle Shock," and "Perfume." Whoo, Cassie, tell me you watched those in one day. Back to back to back, in that order. Kim writes "Monday," as well as "Someone, Somewhere." Spencer writes "Netflix's Blood Red Sky was surprisingly entertaining. Basically, it's Die Hard 2 with Bruce Willis replaced by a female Scandinavian vampire. As somebody who was an extra in Die Hard 2, I would like to meet the female Scandinavian vampire. Eric always does first watches and rewatches. Thank you, Eric. First watches, Fandango, which I apparently liked it way more than he did. Satchmo, The Life of Louis Armstrong, a 1989 PBS documentary. Woodstock's HBO documentary, Woodstock 99, Peace, Love, and Rage. His rewatches were To Live and Die in L.A., The Departed, Beverly Hills Cop, The Friends of Eddie Coyle, and The Fugitive. And I do love The Friends of Eddie Coyle. Good stuff there. And as Terry chimes in, Mitchum at his middle age best in The Friends of Eddie Coyle. And I've always really liked To Live and Die in L.A. Still have the original score soundtrack by Wang Chung on CD, which so perfectly fits this material. It does. And in fact, I saw Wang Chung open for Tina Turner in Detroit, in their Pine Knob, which is their Deer Creek Ruoff, blah, blah, blah. Eric chiming. I'm now doing dialogue on my Facebook page. Mitchum is great in it. I had forgotten Richard Jordan had such a big role, an actor I don't think we as a culture fully appreciated when he was around. And yeah, I still have that Wang Chung CD, Friedkin's last really good film. And it also had the virtue of introducing us all to Willem Dafoe. Yeah, I think, didn't Streets of Fire come out before that? And but yeah, I get what you're saying. That was a big boost for Willem Dafoe's career. Back to the list. Lou Harry. Lou writes "The New Love's Labor's Lost," "The Colony," "Val," and "Hair." David writes "The Suicide Squad," "Daybreak," "Val," "The Musketeers," and "Jasper Maul." Sam Watermeyer, "The Alternate," "Meet the Parents," "Eden Lake," and "Val." Jeff writes "Without Remorse." Doug writes "Fistful of Dollars," "Farewell, My Lovely," "Buck Privates," "A Man Called Adam," and "The Promotion." Molly writes "The Suicide Squad," "Ratatouille," "Gunpowder Milkshake," "Rookie of the Year," "Jungle Cruise," "Dave," and "Sightseers." Teresa writes "Mannequin 2." Oh, wow. Dana writes "An Affair to Remember." Chris writes "The Suicide Squad" and "25 Hours. Patty writes "The Green Man" from 1956. Martin writes "Val." Britt writes "The Witches of Eastwick," "Vivo," "The Suicide Squad," "Pixels," "The Three Musketeers," the one from 1993, "Lady Boss," "Collateral," and "American Pickle." Jared writes "Jungle Cruise" and "The Tomorrow War." Mike writes "The Sword in the Stone." Adam writes "Caveat" and "The Boy Behind the Door." Kurt writes "Keeping the Faith" last Saturday, "Victor Victoria" on Sunday. Both were met with general appreciation at Bell Trace. Way to go, Kurt. Good stuff there. Dustin writes "Gilda." Oh, that's the film where Rita Hayworth does that thing with her hair. I remember "Mama," "Kismet," "Hell or High Water," and "Jungle Cruise." Yes, Joe Scheer, I know you're not here to talk about the past. None of us are. And my lawyer will speak for me because I can't speak English. inside baseball joke. Judy writes, I love when no movie this week, started rewatching Mozart in the Jungle on Amazon. Okay. Tony writes, My Fair Lady, von Sternberg's Underworld, Nosferatu, and Shadow of the Vampire. Now, I know you, Tony. That's a double feature right there. Terry writes, Night Moves, Cutter's Way, Chasing the Moon, Parts 1 through 3, Cotton Comes to Harlem, good one, The End of Suffering, A Proposal, and Macau from 1952. Apparently, a couple of these films like Cutter's Way and Night Moves are streaming. I own them both. Chris Lloyd writes, Curiosa, Queen of the Beach, Rise of Skywalker, and Free Guy. Christian writes The Godfather. Mario writes Cinema Paradiso. Oh, Ennio Morricone. Jay writes, We watched Val. Really good. He was very open about his life and struggles. Yeah, for the most part, he is. Nancy writes Annette. I'm hoping more people check out Annette. As I mentioned on the show last week, it's too long, but it's got some chutzpah. Julia writes The Living Daylights, License to Kill, and Space Jam, A New Legacy. Julia Ricci, of course, over at Heartland, had never seen James Bond movies, and she's making up for lost time. We'll have to get her on the show again. Abby writes Big Fish and Judy, both great movies. Steven Stolen writes, Don't judge, we are on vacation, Mystic Pizza. Okay. Wayne chimes in, everyone has a guilty pleasure. And whenever I hear anybody say guilty pleasure, I always quote Nigella Lawson, if you feel pleasure, why feel guilty? Brian's been on a Mystery Science Theater kick. Iga, Daddy-O, and Deathstalker 2. Whew. Robert Muggy writes, The Suicide Squad, The Man Who Would Be King, Under the Volcano. Somebody's on a Houston kick. Night of the Iguana, Across the Pacific, Seven Men for Now, The Tall Tea, and Decision at Sundown. Brian writes, The Suicide Squad, The Tomorrow War, and The Infinite, also The Long Halloween Part 2, animated. Okay. Paul writes, Finally got around to seeing A Monster Calls. Heavy, but good. Wayne writes Val and Suicide Squad. Maureen writes Jungle Cruise. Emily Blunt and Dwayne Johnson are 10 out of 10. Very good, Maureen. Thank you. Aaron writes Blood Red Sky on Netflix. Rebecca writes Only Lovers Left Alive. Don Hipschweiler, Little Miss Sunshine. Happy birthday, Don. I know it was your birthday this week. Rosanna writes, Groundhog Day, perfect in our world right now. Be satisfied and happy in the now. Also, if you play your cards right, Andy McDowell will slap you 20 days in a row. Just saying. All right, Steph writes, I'm on a John Wayne binge. And then when I ask which films has he been watching, I don't remember. There's been a Western marathon, and they play two of his almost every day. He was my hero growing up. Okay, well, there you go. Thank you, Steph. Aaron writes The Suicide Squad. Austin Glidden, Medium Cool Podcast. Avatar, Space Jam, A New Legacy, and Shirley. Stacy writes, Maya and I are watching Moxie right now. Very good. Catherine writes in, They Came Together. Thanks, Monica. I'm not reading that. Joan writes, I've been rewatching Downton, so there's that. It was time. Okay. Colleen writes, Here today with Billy Crystal and Tiffany Haddish. It was touching and funny. Melissa writes, Radioactive. Adrian writes, Jaws and Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. There's a seafaring double feature there. And finally, Gary writes, Not Cinderella's Type, The Killing of Outpost Zada, Annette, good, Blood Rage, The Goonies, Notorious, the Biggie Smalls biopic, not the Hitchcock film. Thank you, Gary. Thank you for clarifying that. Horsehead and Mass Hysteria. And there you go, friends. So that's what you've been watching this week. And hopefully you got some ideas and some titles. And hopefully you get to watch some new films, or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. Friends, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. There's plenty out there. I want to end this week's show with a little tip of the hat, a raise of the glass to some dead people we like, because we never have dead people we don't like, and we'll have a little music to go with it. First off, to Pat Hitchcock, the daughter of Alfred Hitchcock. Only made a handful of films, but made an impact. If you, of course, remember her as Barbara Morton in Strangers on a Train. was also uncredited in The Ten Commandments and also appeared in Psycho as Caroline and 1978 Skateboard, and it appeared on several episodes of Alfred Hitchcock Presents. Alex Cord, another that guy, one of his early films that he got noted for was playing the Ringo Kid in the 1966 film version of Stagecoach, and appeared in films like A Minute to Pray, A Second to Die, The Brotherhood, Stiletto, Telltale Heart, Chosen Survivors, Grey Eagle, Jungle Warriors, and a slew of television. So salute to Alex. And really sad around the Soucy household, Eunice Stubbs passed away. English actress, most recently as the landlady on Sherlock as Mrs. Hudson for Benedict Cumberbatch back in 2010. And had a couple of things of note, other television shows of note, Wurzel Gummidge Down Under, The Worst Witch, but she was also Rita, the daughter in the British sitcom Till Death Do Us Part, which would be the inspiration for All in the Family. Her first film, and this is the reason why I bring this up, among other things, was her film debut. She was a dancer before making movies, and she played Sandy, the brunette, in Cliff Richard's Summer Holiday from 1963. Now, backstory on why I know way too much about Summer Holiday. Back when Richard Miles worked here at WFYI, he was a big part of the British Telly Club. And for a couple of summers, we did a British film series for those members of the British Telly Club. And what we did one summer at the old building at 14th and Meridian, we did one here. The very first movie we showed for members, it was on a Sunday afternoon, was Summer Holiday. And if you've not seen it, Cliff Richard was kind of like the English Elvis. And it was before A Hard Day's Night, and it was during the Elvis movies and the Frankie Nanette Beach movies, I think, hadn't quite kicked in. I think they did do one, I believe. But it was just that right area. And it's more than just... And it's Cliff and his lads get a double-decker bus, and they go from London to Athens, and hijinks ensue, and there's Ron Moody as a mime, not kidding. And John Voight's first wife shows up as an American pop singer on the run, and yeah, it's just one of those frolicking teenage movies. And it's more, and the Shadows show up. I love the Shadows. That's Cliff's backup band. But the film was more than just kids twisting at a discotheque for 90 minutes. The film was choreographed by Herb Ross, who would become a film director in his own right. And it was directed by Peter Yates, who would later do Bullet, Breaking Away, and many, many others. So my daughter, if I remember right, was 4 or 5 and fell in love with the film. And as we're showing the movie, we're in the back row, and she's doing all the choreography. And afterwards... what every dad hears from their child, "Daddy, can we buy this?" And I wound up buying it. And this has become, with the Eunice Stubbs character, they find three girls along the way who wind up traveling with them, a blonde, a brunette, and a redhead. That's how it happens. But yeah, Eunice Stubbs was my favorite. But yeah, so this became a summer, end of summer tradition at the Soucy household when we were about ready to go back to school. Kind of like now, this would be the movie that we would watch to indicate that summer has finally ceased. And as Bob Seger once said, with autumn closing in. So I want to end with a little bit of music from Summer Holiday. Thanks, Una. Appreciate it. And anyway, we'll talk next week. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
Or two, fun and laughter on our summer holiday. No more worries for me or you for a week or two. We're going where the sun shines brightly. We're going where the sea is blue. We've seen it in the movies. Now let's see if it's true. Everybody has a summer holiday, doing things they always wanted to. So we're going on a summer holiday,
to make our dreams come true for me and you.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!